Welcome back to our verse-by-verse study through all of God's inspired word. We are in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 3, where it says, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." And I was talking about how God is not tired from the work he did. He's just finished. He's completed what needed to be done. And so he set aside day number 7, which is related to the Hebrew word for Sabbath, Sabbat. He is making this a day that the Jewish people in particular, because Genesis is written for the Jewish people coming out of Egyptian slavery. And they had spent generations, many, many decades, of not having any time off. And so God is gifting them the seventh day of every week as time that is off and protected as such. Everyone's supposed to take it. And so the word rest, by the way, also is similar in sounding and root as the word Sabbath. And so the thing that I needed to talk about, though, and we spent some time last time, is that that does not mean everybody has to take off the exact same day. And this comes off as blasphemous, I know, in some circles, which they believe anybody that worships on Sunday has the mark of the beast on them, and I'm sorry they believe that, because that is not true. The Sunday day off laws of Constantine were not brand new to him. They actually reflected the tradition for a couple of centuries of the Gentile portion of the church inside the empire that he was now in charge of. And we can even see the beginnings of that in the book of Acts that talks about how the church was meeting often on the first day of the week. Now, the Jewish component, I will tell you, seems to have made the evening hours of the first day of the week, meaning Saturday night after the sun went down, as their special first day of the week tie-in, because they were already in the habit of the Sabbath ending at sunset Saturday night, and they'd have a nice big meal together after sunset on Saturday night as a fellowship. And so that was a very natural place for Jewish believers to connect with their newfound faith in the Messiah, who died and rose again on the first day of the week. Because honestly, folks, that's the reason why the Gentiles were particularly tied in to the first day of the week. They were not invested in the Jewish Sabbath. They were invested in the salvation celebration of Jesus' resurrection on the morning of the first day of the week. And so don't let people try to twist the facts of history and of Scripture. The Sabbath day is not the only day that you could take this day off that God's principle is trying to talk about. Now, we were in the process of looking at some of Jesus' instruction on this matter in Matthew chapter 12 when we closed up. And you remember the incident. They were passing between grain fields on a Sabbath day, and as is permitted according to Jewish law, you can reach over and snap off some of the heads of grain that are ripe, and you can rub them between your hands and blow the chaff away and eat those kernels. But the Pharisees said that when the when the disciples of Jesus did that, they were harvesting and threshing and winnowing by doing all that action, and that's all work, and that's wrong. And so Jesus' response is basically, you guys don't know your scripture, do you? And he takes them back to where David ate some of the bread from the holy area of the temple that had been given to him by the high priest, even though he was not supposed to be eating that specifically. But the Pharisees were willing to give him a pass because he had a dire need at that point. The Pharisees also understood that priests have to perform circumcisions on a Sabbath day if it is the eighth day of the baby boy's life. And so they give them a pass on that day. And all the priests that have to work in the temple on the Sabbath day, offering sacrifices and cleaning up the ashes and all of those things like that, even though that's work for them, they were given a pass because it was required for them to get God's work done. And so Jesus is basically saying, you guys give passes of your own thinking, but you're hassling these guys that were just hungry? That's it. They didn't do any work. What these apostles did, as I said last time, is rather analogous to us opening up a food wrapper. You know, popping open, you know, a potato chip sack, or unwrapping your wrapped-up sandwich, or popping open the top of your pop bottle or water bottle. That's all they did. That's it. That's not what God was talking about when he gave the Sabbath law through Moses. Don't do ordinary work on this day, Jewish people. Take it off. But even with that, as Jesus has already indicated, some people have to work on the Sabbath. Some people have to work on the day other people might have off because work needs to get done. I remember growing up in a time where nothing was opened on Sunday because the long-standing Christian nation laws protected Sunday from being a work day. That started with Constantine, but here in the United States, we called them the Blue Laws. Nothing was open except for essential services. Emergency rooms at hospitals and the police service was pretty much the only thing that was open. Everything else was closed on Sunday. You had to think ahead in order to be ready to get through Sunday without going to a store or anything of that nature. And we did it. It wasn't that big a deal, by the way. And it was kind of nice that everyone had the entire day off. No factories were open. No work was being done. Even in some cultures of the Western Christian nations, you didn't even do recreation on that day. If you know the film The Chariots of Fire, it's the story of Eric Liddell, who was tied in with the Church of Scotland. And their tradition was you didn't even do recreation on the Christian Sabbath, that is, on Sunday. And so that became an issue with him at the Olympics, didn't it? And eventually he wins on non-Sunday events, and it's a great story. If you don't know it, go and check it out. But that's the way things were up until right around the 70s. I remember when the first places started opening for a few hours on Sunday. But now, you know, everything's open. So some of you that are younger, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And it is tough when the whole community doesn't shut down at the same time. When everybody shuts down at the same time, it is much easier to relax and recuperate. And of course, have opportunity to go to worship as well. So, back to the point. The point in Matthew chapter 12 is where Jesus says in verse 7, if you guys, meaning you Pharisees, had really known what this passage from inspired scripture means, and he quotes from Hosea 6:6, I, meaning God, desire mercy, chesed, loving kindness, compassion toward other people, and not sacrifice. So it's not about ritual, it's about relationship, caring. And so if you had known that, you would not have condemned the guiltless. You wouldn't have jumped all over my guys who are just minding their own business and learning from me about God, my Father. And then he finishes with this line that I told you we were coming back to today. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So most people, and I'm looking at the English Standard Version, doing something with the typeset here that backs this up. Most people think that Jesus is talking about himself here. Son of Man, as a title. But I'm going to suggest something to you to chew on. Son of Man is actually an idiom from the Old Testament, meaning human, as in the ones that God made in his own image and likeness. And I would suggest to you that what Jesus is actually saying here is humanity is the one that's in control of the Sabbath. The rest, it's for them. In fact, Jesus in another passage says specifically that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is not in charge of humans. Humans are in charge of the Sabbath. And the principle I'll remind you of again is everyone needs to take a day off. Comp time for those that have to work while everybody else is off. You know, we have something called the weekend in our modern society. But some people have to work the weekend. But what do they get for their employers, typically? Comp time. Because it seems to be understood, at least in principle, you can't just keep working 7 days a week. You need some downtime. You need some kickback time, some recuperation time. And so everybody that's listening to my voice, you may not have to keep the Jewish Sabbath, and you may not necessarily have to keep a Christian Sabbath, meaning Sunday, but you've got to take some Sabbath, some rest time during the week. So make that a priority, and I'm preaching to myself here. My wife is the enforcer to try to help me make sure that I take my comp time, because guess what, folks? I typically work the weekend, and so that makes it tougher for me to take this time off. Now, in the next story here, there's another Sabbath story, and Jesus, in this one, is healing somebody on the Sabbath. And in verse number 11, in response to those that are griping at him, he says, which one of you guys who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? In a parallel account, it's a sheep or a son. It's basically any person. And that was another one of the passes that the Pharisees gave in their oral tradition about Sabbath rules. They said, if life is in danger, you may work, you may take physical action in order to save that life. And it could be as something as simple as this. You left your donkey tied up away from its water source. And then the Sabbaths get started. And according to their tradition, untying a knot is work. Now, that's silly. But that's what they thought. And so they would think, oh, no, I'll be breaking the Sabbath if I untie my donkey and lead it over to the water. But the Pharisee said, no, you're saving its life, so that is okay. And so Jesus piggybacks on that and says, verse 12, of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, which is tied into another place where he talked on this topic. He had this argument repeatedly with these Pharisees. And he says, so on the Sabbath day, is it proper to do evil or good? And of course, the answer is good. And so anything good, especially if you're doing it for other people, is okay to do on the Sabbath day. The only thing that God was wanting everybody to understand, starting first with the poor enslaved Israelis, is take some time off every week. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. Now, in the New Testament, and I'm going to just kind of summarize a lot of this. In the New Testament era, once Gentiles started coming into the church, and these Gentiles were not in the habit of being circumcised, because that was a Jewish thing, and they were not in the habit of keeping kosher, because that was a Jewish thing, and they were definitely not in the habit of keeping the Sabbath, because that was a Jewish thing. We have something pop up in the book of Acts, chapter number 15, called the Judaizers. What are the Judaizers? They are Jewish believers in Jesus that were insisting, hey, all these Gentiles have to convert to Judaism in order to be saved by Jesus. They have to be circumcised if they're a man. They have to keep kosher laws, and they have to keep the Sabbath day and all the other commandments. And Paul was constantly fighting against these guys during his ministry. Now, the church tried to resolve the issue early on, chapter number 15, by writing a letter and sending it out, making it plain that Gentiles are not required to become Jewish in order to be saved. The only thing that was expected of them is to do the things that all humanity in the early chapters of Genesis were supposed to take care of. And that was basically, you don't eat the arterial blood of animals, and you so you butcher them properly, and you don't sleep around. That is, you stay faithful to whatever husband or wife you happen to have, so you're not sexually immoral, and you don't go out and party with the pagans in their worship services and eat their sacrifices that they've devoted to their pagan deities. Now, those are universal principles. They have nothing to do with just the Jewish people. Nothing else was told to them. So they don't have to be circumcised, they don't have to keep kosher, and they don't have to keep the Jewish Sabbath. That was pretty plain. But these Judaizers wouldn't let that bone go. They just kept biting on it and causing trouble. And so Paul has to write the entire book of Galatians dealing with this issue. And he is quite adamant in that book that these Jewish principles are not mandatory for Gentiles to be saved. And he even gets after them, the Gentiles, to some extent, for going along with this foolishness. You gave up on all the foolishness of paganism. Why are you trying to now yoke yourself to the ABCs and 1-2-3s of the Jewish people that you're not required to live by? And he says in Galatians chapter 4, you're keeping days of the week and months and years and procedures, and none of this is required for your salvation. Paul wrote in Colossians, though, something that I want to read to you as we're kind of wrapping this Sabbath comment up. In Colossians chapter number 2, which again, he's dealing clearly with Judaizers that have infiltrated Asia province and caused trouble for the believers at Colossae. And he says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy." Now, Phariseeism is a philosophy. It's a human philosophy. It is a traditional structure that claims absolute control of the understanding of God's inspired word. And we already know that Jesus said, no, you Pharisees have got it wrong. So don't let anybody take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. The elemental spirits here are the basics, ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, primary colors, things like that. And for the Jewish people, that was their law, the Mosaic Code, as the Pharisees taught it. But he says, don't get sucked into that. Stay with Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. So you've become his temple. The Jewish temple was not the place where you went necessarily to worship. If you wanted to, you could. But the bodies of believers was the actual temple of God. Verse 11, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So he says, you don't really need that physical circumcision like in Judaism. You need the circumcision spiritually that takes sin away. And that happens with Jesus. Having been buried with him in immersion, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him up from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us of all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This is like a condemnation charge, which, interestingly enough, is what was nailed above the heads of those being crucified, their charges. Now, what was above the above the head of Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That has nothing to do with any type of legal charges, but it does describe what he was doing. Yehoshua, Jesus, means he who is salvation. He came here as our Savior to take our sins away and by that become the King of our new life. And so Paul plays on that idea of the charge document being done away with by Jesus. Thus he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He has disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So Jesus beat the devil. He beat him by taking away the ability to accuse any of us of being sinners anymore. Because once you've been forgiven in Jesus, there is no charging document anymore. Jesus took it away. But that also, for Gentiles, means you shouldn't be trying to go back to the Old Testament way of doing things, the Jewish way of doing things, especially the traditional Pharisaic way of things. So now is where we come to the part that I think is so powerful that you need to govern yourself by as a Gentile in respect to this Sabbath issue. Therefore, verse 16, let no one pass judgment on you. No one condemn you, tell you what to do. In questions of food and drink, That's the kosher stuff. Or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. That's the Sabbath keeping. New moon was also the first day of each Jewish month. It was a day off for Jewish people. They didn't do any work that day. Festivals. Almost all of the festivals of the Jews kicked off on the first day, sometimes wrapped up on the last day with a day off. No work. And so here is Paul saying, don't you dare, Gentiles, let these Judaizers tell you what you can or can't do in regard to kosher food, non-kosher food, and Sabbath days and days off. Why? Verse 17. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Jesus is ultimately our Sabbath. He is the one that calls the shots. We rest in Him, and it's between Him and us which days we take off and rest like we're supposed to. And He wants us to take them off. Can I emphasize that once again? So find some time every week and take it off. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism. That's keeping away from certain things. Food, very obviously. So that's kind of with the kosher thing. Or the worship of angels, which Jewish people were, many of them, engaged in. Going on in details about visions. Some of these guys claimed that they had supernatural direction on these rules. Puffed up without reason by their sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. So in the wrap-up today, basically this. Jesus is in charge, not the Judaizers. God gave the Jewish people the Sabbath of Friday night, Saturday, but He wants all the rest of us to find another time to rest with Him.